Good evening, everyone. I'd like to say thanks to you as a congregation and also to the elders and also to the Lord above for the opportunity they have to come and present His Word to you. It was for my edification, but hopefully it was edifying or will be edifying for you as well tonight. And again, thank you. Many of us are driving down the highway. There's things that we see. These things are important because it tells us something. What are we talking about? Signs. Signs are important. Signs give direction. There's a particular action that's about to happen or needs to happen for your safety and those on the road. It's also bringing about a warning, something that you need to be cautious of. So signs are very important. Remember, the sign has meaning. If you see the yield sign, we can apply this to a few verses here. Let's look over at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21. Ephesians 5, 21. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. So we're going to be submitting. It's going to be yielding. It's going to be yielding what I want to do. It's going to be yielding what I think is best sometimes. We're going to be yielding to God to obey His Word and do His will, not my will, but the Lord's will. Turn over to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5, because we have to be able to serve one another. 1 Peter 5, 5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. So we see here that we need to be humble, and we need to be proper in God's sight, because God resists the proud. Can't be proud in our heart. We need to be proud in Christ, and be found in God, in His Word. Because we have to have lowliness of heart. Let's look at Philippians 2, 3. Philippians 2, verse 3. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in the lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Lastly, we'll look over at on this yielding. We'll look at James, because we need to be subject to God. Turn over to James chapter 4. Verse 7. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So we see here that by submission, we're yielding to God. We're going to yield our actions and let Him have the right of way. That's what yielding is, allowing the other to have the right of way. Just as God should have the right of way in our heart, in our life, and in our daily actions. Let's look at another sign. Have one that says enter. Many of us see that. Enter here. We also see exit signs, but let's look at enter. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew 7, 13 and 14. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in therein at. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, which leadeth unto life, but few there be that find it. So we see here it's not going to be easy to enter in. It's not going to be easy to enter in and be acceptable unto God. The only way to be acceptable is to know His Word, to live His Word, and do the best we can to accomplish that task. Let's look over at Galatians 3:27. Because we need to be found in Christ. Galatians 3, 27. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. How do we put on Christ? We have to be baptized into Christ. This is how we can enter into Christ and enter into the kingdom. There's some things that we encounter as we're going down the road. You may see other signs. Signs that may say, do not enter. Stop. Wrong way. We need to be advised of those as we're traveling down the path of life. Turn over to Proverbs 4, book of Proverbs, chapter 4, verses 14 and 15. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. So we're even forewarned by God not to enter into certain situations, things that we need to avoid in life, to have a better life, to be acceptable unto God. Turn over to 1 Corinthians 15, 33. 'Be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners.' So we see here that those that we hang around with can influence us. They can cause us to go in those areas that we should not go. We may see that sign, do not enter. May not see that literal sign, but you'll see the indicators there that you shouldn't be doing that. Maybe I shouldn't do that. If you have to question yourself, there's probably a reason. And if you're forewarned or knowledgeable as found in God's Word, then you are prepared to address that situation, to react to that sign that you may encounter. Let's turn over to Psalms 1:1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. You can also look a little bit further at Proverbs. Turn over to Proverbs 22, 24 through 25. Proverbs 22. Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul. So we see here, even with friendship or interacting with people of the world, yes, you will be influenced. Yes, there will be an influence in our lives. But we can't let that influence overpower what we should do as found in God's Word. Because we are warned by God here. Turn over to chapter 14 in Proverbs. Look at verse 12. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. If we go to the ways of God, it'll be the ways of life. But the ways of unto man is death. Do not enter. Stop. That's the wrong way. As we're traveling along, it may not necessarily be on the road of life, but some of the paths of life, we will encounter other warning signs. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 4, 26 and 27. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. The key is we need to be removed from evil. How do we remove ourselves from evil? It must be removed from our heart. If it's in our heart, it will be brought out in our actions, in our thoughts, our actions. So we need to make sure that we purge that from us, that we can be better prepared. Stay in the book of Proverbs. Go to chapter 13, verse 15. Proverbs 13. 15. Good understanding giveth favor, but the way of transgressors is hard. Who wants a hard life? I don't. If you want a hard life, this is how you get one, the way of transgressors. So let's go the path of what Christ has prepared, so that He will lighten our burdens. He will be there for us, our Savior, our Redeemer, the Son of God, forever eternal. Turn to Proverbs chapter 14, 15 and 16. The simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going. A wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but the fool raggeth and is confident. So we see that by the fool raging, that he is confident. We need to be confident in Christ, confident in what He has taught us, the things that we need to do to be saved, to be acceptable unto God, to be pleasing. We'll stay in Proverbs. Go over to chapter 22, verse 3. 22:3. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. None of us want to pass on and be punished. But if we're looking at the signs, just as an example of these signs or any other signs, it's warning us about something. There's one even with a picture. The picture can tell you what you may be facing. There's going to be indicators of things that we should or should not engage in. We need to be paying attention to these signs. Signs as we travel through the path of life, down the merry trail that we call life. Turn over to Proverbs 20, verse 18. Every purpose is established by counsel, and with good advice make war. So if we're going to engage in a battle, we need to have good advice. So we need to be looking to God's Word for this good advice, that we can be prepared to stand against the devil, against his temptations, against the things that we're going to face in this life. Life is not easy. Life is not necessarily hard. There will be challenges. There will be opportunities. And we need to react to those in a timely manner. But as we're traveling down the road, we see other signs. What could signs that we see? Well, some could be, there's one way. Let's turn over to John chapter 14, John 14 verse 6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There's only one way to get to the Father. How is that? That's through Jesus Christ. Because He is the truth, the life, and the way. That's our one way to make it to God, our one way to make it to heaven. Turn over to Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Acts 4, verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You look at verse 10. Be it be known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him, doth this man stand here before you whole. So we see here that it's Jesus Christ that's going to be the way, our way out of sin and our way into salvation. We need to heed that warning sign that is provided to us, just as we should heed it when we're traveling and driving our car. What's some other things that we may encounter as we're traveling down this path? We may encounter a sign, do not pass. It could be a dangerous curve. It could be something going on that would prevent you from passing safely. Let's go over at Luke chapter 10. Luke 10, 30 through 32. And Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by him on the other side. Here's an example of some passing. Should they have passed by this man? No. He's another human being, created in the image of God, just as we are. They should have stopped and helped him, assisted him. Just as if you continue to read on, that's what we call the Good Samaritan. That's what he had done. There are things that we do need to pass up. Let's turn over to Proverbs chapter 21, verse 13. Proverbs 21, 13. Whosoever stoppeth his ears at the cry of the poor, he also shall cry himself, but shall not be heard. So we need to recognize people in their need. Not necessarily their physical needs, but definitely their spiritual needs. There's a lot of hungry people in the world, and only Christ can feed them. We need to help them in this feeding process. We need to help feed them the milk, that they may be strengthened and partake of the meat of the Word, and continue to grow and develop within the Lord Jesus Christ. stay in the book of Proverbs, go to chapter 14, Proverbs 14, verse 12. There's a way which seemeth right unto the man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Are we going to pass by God's rules? Are we going to pass by what God has told us to do? If you make that pass, there's going to be dire consequences. Just as you were passing in a curve and couldn't see, you may hit a semi head on. Not only could it injure or kill you, but anyone that's in that car and those that are behind you. There's dangers in not following the rules. There's severe consequences in not obeying the signs or the things that are provided. Not only on the road, but also as found in the Scripture. Here's a sign that we probably see. But what I'm trying to address here is parents and children. Stay in the book of Proverbs. We'll go to chapter 22, verse 6. Proverbs 22, 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Just as when you walk in a crosswalk, just as you see these indicators here, the signs that are there, there's boundaries for the crosswalk. Does that mean they walk all up and down the road, do what they want to do, wave at everybody, talk on their phone? No. They should cross where it's designated and cross safely, but quickly, just as we have to in life. We have to follow the rules, do it in a timely manner, and do as God has commanded us. Because we are running out of time. Our time is limited on this earth. Let's look over at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. Ephesians 6, 4. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So we see here that we're instructed not only as fathers, but parents. Things that we need to do in rearing children. It's not just clothe, feed, and send to school. There's other obligations and responsibilities. We need to prepare them for a life on this earth, but better yet, prepare them for a future with God. A future in this life, but in eternity with God. What grave consequences, what signs we must pay attention to be prepared to teach and instruct our children. Let's look over to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew 18, verses 2 through 6. And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Wheresoever therefore shall humble himself as a little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whosoever shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. But whosoever shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone be hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. So we see here that we need to be as children. Not that we play with toys, but that we need to be forgiving. We need to be loving. We need to be looking out for our playmates or those round about us. We need to be prepared to help them, to help them in their struggles and their difficulties. Again, there's a hungry world out there. And we need to help feed it. That spiritual hunger. If you're traveling along, you may encounter a caution sign. There's numerous caution signs that one could see. Here's one going downhill. And if we live an unrighteous life, it'll definitely be a dead end. It may be a dead end here, but it'll definitely be a dead end in hell. And that's where we don't want to be. We want an unending end. In heaven. Let's go over to Philippians chapter 2. Verse 15. That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Why are we shining as lights? The world is dark. It's cold, just as Satan would want it for us. But we need to shine. Let our light shine. That's Christ's light, the light that can be found in God, the truth, the way, the life, found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. 1 Corinthians 10, 12. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. We need to be cautious of how we feel about ourselves, feel about maybe the organization that we're part of, maybe even the church that we're members of, because we can also ascend, but we can fall. We need to be growing. We need to be constantly looking at God's Word that we may grow and develop and be prepared to live the life that God has commanded us. God loves us and wants us to do this. Let's turn over to 1 Peter chapter 5. Verse 8, 1 Peter 5, 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Why is this important? Because we've got to live our life right. There is a fire zone at the end if you're not living right. Let's look over at Matthew 13, verse 50. Matthew 13, 50. And shall cast them into the furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. We're all deserving of this punishment, but we can be spared this punishment. If we're found in the Lord Jesus Christ, if we put on the Lord Jesus Christ, as we read in Galatians. Turn to Revelations chapter 2, verse 10. Revelations 2, 10. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried. Ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. What we need to focus on here is be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Being a Christian is not sprinting. It's long distance running. We need to be prepared for the long haul. It's going to be maybe decades, definitely years, that we got to live on this earth, be tempted, have to put up with things, be prepared to interact and to resist and to be faithful and continue to grow and develop in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not a sprint. It's a long distance run. Let's look over at our Revelations chapter 20, verse 14. Revelations 20, 14. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. None of us want the second death. Many of us will experience the first death. That's the death of where our spirit separates from our physical body. Unless we're here during where we're called up. But most of us will experience that. And many will probably experience the second death. That's where their spirit is separated from God forever eternal. Let's not have the second death. Let's be prepared to not face that second death where we can face the first death when it comes. Because we can find shelter or refuge in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's first look over at Psalm 62. Psalm 62, verses 1 and 2. Truly my soul waiteth upon God. From him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. Who else can we be found in that will protect us, prepare us to weather the storms of life, to prepare us to face temptations and wiles and all kinds of problems that the devil may throw in our path? Snares and traps, they're out there, ready to catch any and all. Let's look over at Acts chapter 2, 38. Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So we have to repent. That means decide to make a change and commit to that change. Takes committal. We have to be committed to making the change. And we have to be baptized in the name or the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no other name that can save us. It won't be Muhammad. It won't be Martin Luther. Whatever name you want to put there, there will none other can save us except the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn over to 1 Peter chapter 3. Verse 21. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. There's none other that can shelter us or save us from that second death other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And once we've committed to that, we've been baptized, it's not over. We've got to remember there's no U-turns. We can't turn back to sin. We can't turn back to the life that we once had. There's no stopping at any time. We need to continue to grow and to develop as God wants us to do. Let's look over at Luke chapter 9, verse 62. And Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of heaven. Let's turn quickly over to Hebrews 10:38. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. We can't draw back. We can't draw back to sin. We must draw to God, cleave to God. Because think about it. If we move away from God, God moves away from us. My, what a great distance. Let's not let that happen in our life. Let's cleave to God, and He will come unto us so that we can be together and grow and develop as God wants us to do, in His love and His mercy, so that we can be saved in His salvation. Turn over to 2 Peter chapter 2, 20 and 21. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, and latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. Let's not make U-turns as a Christian. Let's not turn back to sin. Get away from it. Go to God. Continue on that path of life and keep God in our continued travel. Because ultimately, daily we will make decisions, but if you tonight have not made that decision, what direction will you be going? Will it be toward Christ, continuing on that path with Christ? Or will it be with Satan, worldliness, humanism, mankind? Whatever you want to put below Christ there, fill in the blank. Because if you do, it will be a dead end. It'll be a dead end for you spiritually. So choose tonight if you've not chosen. And those of us that have chosen, continue to choose Christ's path. If there's anyone here tonight that needs to make that decision, we will afford you that opportunity as we stand and sing.